Navigating the medical system is trying in normal times. These are not normal times. There's no face-to-face talks with doctors, no bunking out in the waiting room, or running to get someone a cup of tea in the nursing home. It's the most insidious part of this disease. People cannot be with their loved ones when they're very sick or dying. So how to better advocate for them? Rebecca Kirch is Executive Vice President of Healthcare at the not-for-profit National Patient Advocate Foundation. So, Rebecca, I'd imagine you've been hearing stories nonstop about people dealing with this.
We have, Robin, and it's scary. It's a very unfamiliar space that people are now confronting, trying to contact their doctor, go to the hospital, or stay connected with loved ones.
How can we at least improve on what's the reality we all have to accept? Start with communication.
So getting updates these days with the health system so stressed requires making sure that the hospital, the nursing home, or wherever your loved one is, has the name of the patient's primary contact person and their phone number. And what the hospitals are doing are writing that information in the medical record, but also on the whiteboards in the room. When patients come in, they should be bringing their smartphones or their tablets. And in nursing homes, we can get that technology so that families can continue to visit each other, even though it's virtually instead of live in the room.
So two things there. Make sure your name and number is on the whiteboard right there, big, where people can see it. And try to get a smartphone or an iPad in with the patient so that doctors and nurses can help you communicate with them, the doctors and nurses, or with the patient.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're actually recommending that people take some proactive planning steps while they're at home now, three good things that take about 10 minutes, so that you can identify who those contact people should be for you if you should need someone to speak on your behalf because you're too sick to do so.
Yeah, we've talked about, you know, even getting, of course, end-of-life directives. Make sure that you know who it is you'd want to have these contacts with a doctor prior to, you know, possibly getting sick. And then you want to know who's in charge. If your loved one's in a hospital, you know, how do you get that information?
Well, you know, it's more difficult now because it's all hands on deck in the hospitals. So the shift changes may still be the same, though people are working much longer than the 12-hour shift. So I think the most important part is that your contact name is available and there is someone who will answer the call. I know doctors and nurses are going out of their way to stay in touch with families, but it's harder now just because how stressed they are in terms of time with each patient.
We are hearing incredible stories of what doctors and nurses are doing, you know, holding the hands of someone's loved one as they pass, you know, knowing that there's someone on the other end. But again, you're not with that loved one usually when they come in now. You don't even get to come into the hospital with them. So you have to do a little detective work to find out who these people are. You want to take notes, keep a diary.
It's very helpful to keep track of all of the people that you've talked to. It could be many, many different people. And the beauty of what's happening now is how the healthcare teams are having that presence through FaceTime. They're talking to the loved ones and holding the phone near to the patient's ear so that they can still help coach them through the conversations that need to be had. Even with those patients who are intubated and cannot speak, we hope that they'll be able to hear from their loved ones through these phone calls and that continued contact.
Yeah. Anything else that you think people should try to make sure a patient brings with them to the hospital, because so much will be taken away?
You know, for patients who need reading glasses, dentures, the usual practical things, oftentimes they'll forget to bring those. Plus the chargers for these devices.
Chargers, of course. You are the Patient Advocate Foundation, which also has some resources to help people get through this. People forget that, you know, before COVID-19, when you're suddenly round the clock caring for someone, your income starts to fall off. But now, you know, people aren't working. But you do that as well.
Yes, we do. There are two things that we've done immediately. One is we set up a COVID hotline so that people can call with their concerns and questions about the medical situation, but also their financial stressors. And we do have a financial assistance COVID program as well. In addition, we have resources available on the internet to help people with their medical care planning. We're doing webinars to feature some of those resources and how to talk people through the three good things process for taking proactive steps. But there are also case managers available by phone to help talk people through the billing questions, insurance questions that they'll be having. And the financial toxicity that patients are facing now is very real.
Boy, you're just reminding us of all the things that you have to do when a loved one is in the hospital. You usually go down to the billing department and talk to them. You go to the pharmacy. You can't do that now.
That's right. And that makes it an extra challenge. And you're going to need some extra layers of support to get through the other side when the bills start rolling in. We don't really know what the landscape will be like on the other side of this. And that's where advocacy and support tools will be particularly helpful for people.
Rebecca Kirch with the National Patient Advocate Foundation in Washington, D.C. By the way, Rebecca, when somebody does call you or go to the website, is this free?
Yes, it is.
Rebecca, thank you.
Thank you. A pleasure.